Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Will you please lead us in prayer?
Most definitely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for this time that you've given us and that you have called us to set aside, to study your word, and to learn more about you, Father. Lord, you have so much to tell us. If only we would just make more time, Father. And that is what we're doing here, to learn your truth and to understand what is a biblical marriage. There are so many cultural influences around us.
Yes, Lord.
That can put doubt in our mind, that can steal the truth from us. And so this study is a time where we can learn your truth, and dispel those cultural myths, Father, so that we can strengthen our marriages and have a marriage that is worthy of you, Father, that reflects your love and your care for us. So we just praise and magnify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Christ's name alone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. All right. For those of you that are with us live tonight, if you are with us by way of computer, please use the chat. If you have any question while they're teaching this on, send it in and we will get back to you. And for those who are with us by way of phone, please take down this number. Write down this number, 561-506-9853. 561-506-9853. Whenever you have a question while they're teaching this on, please call this number. You can leave your question right there, and we will get back to you. You can call as many times as you want to. However, at the end of this teaching, just be with us. We are going to unmute everyone so that you will have an opportunity to ask questions or make comments. So, and we are asking you to do something for us tonight. We want you to keep everything quiet around you, radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. And so, and for the benefit of all of us, whenever we have things quiet, we'll focus on this, teaching. All right. So what we're going to do tonight is that we continue our study of Solomon. Now, in part one of our study, we look at the background of his word, the word in which Solomon lived. And that's very good. If you really want to do justice to somebody's action, you got to look at his surroundings and things that were happening at the time. We look at that in part one of our video. If you are not watching that video, please go back there and watch it. Now, in part two, we discuss about his weddings, and that's great teaching. So go back to it if you have not watched that video. Now, for the benefit of those who were not with us last week, we would like to recap our teaching in part two for a smooth transition to today's study. So, now, last week, here are the we're just going to summarize it. The things we learned last week. We learned that King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That means 1,000 wives, because concubines were considered as wives as well during this time. But scripture only had details on two of his wives. We also said that the marriage between Pharaoh's daughter and Solomon was a political alliance, which is proven by Pharaoh's troops marching on Gaza, destroy it, and give that city to his daughter, Solomon's wife, as her wedding gift. The only wife of Solomon named mentioned in the Bible is Naaman, the Ammonite woman, a descendant of Lot, Abraham's nephew. with the 1,000 wives Solomon had, only one woman name mentioned in the Bible. The second one, that's Pharaoh's daughter, and we have the Edomites women and the Hittites women and all that, but specific name is this Naaman woman. So I want us to really get that clearly. These are the things we studied last week. And then we also said that King Solomon had only three what? Children. Two daughters and one son. And that one son became king when Solomon died. Rehoboam. All right. And this week now, in our study tonight, today, this is what we're going to do. All right. You will discover. This is a great study. And understand and believe that in the beginning of Solomon's leadership, he led Israel in the fear of God, as his father did, and he prospered. Really, when Solomon started, he really led Israel in the fear of God. We're going to learn that tonight. Solomon disobeyed God later by marrying foreign women, and his foreign wife turned his heart away from God. Marrying foreign women was his strategy for political alliance. Now, these are the key points we're going to study tonight. Hey, Rabbi, you have anything to add? Some of these things we studied them already. Hey, anything you want to talk about this? I give them the objective for the study now before going into it.
So, right, as you mentioned, there are only two wives that are mentioned in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that tells us something important. Because even though Scripture is not mentioning their names,
right,
the act of it not saying anything tells us that, okay, maybe Solomon valued all these wives. He had so many. But biblically, they were not important enough to be mentioned. Only the one was mentioned.
Right.
So that's something we should pay attention to. So we can see, you know, this is definitely something that was cultural that he was doing. And as we pointed out last week, it was his wives that started to lead him astray. So Solomon starts out, and he's following God, following God's commandments, rebuilds the temple, and starts doing all these great things, and there's peace in the kingdom. But as we mentioned last week, he starts marrying more and more wives, entering into more and more treaties, basically, cutting covenant with each of these kingdoms by marrying their wives. And his wives turn him astray from God.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I find important, and it's kind of interesting, is Solomon was the wealthiest man. You know, he had more wisdom than anybody else. Mm-hmm. All the kings in the world came to him. So even though he was had an abundance of wealth, as Ovid said, abundance makes me poor. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon had an abundance of material possessions, but spiritually he was poor in spirit as he started to go astray. We need to pay close attention to these things and learn from him what is good and what is not good.
Right, right. Thank you, Rob. You got it. You nailed it. Now, here, these are the things we learned. Thank you, Rob. Now, we are going to first of all study the beginning of Solomon's reign, the beginning of his leadership. Then we're going to study, you know, his glorious days and his fall. These are two major things we will study about Solomon tonight. The beginning of his leadership, his reign in Jerusalem, and then his glorious days when Solomon was just when the blessing of God was upon him, and then he fell. What brought about his downfall? So the two key things we learned. First thing now we're going to pick up tonight is the beginning of his reign in Jerusalem. Now, let me stop right here, and I just purposely have this to stop here and read the text. You know, the text is great, and I want to read that. Now, pick up your Bible. Let me read the text tonight. It's great. Now, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, and I will start reading from verse 3. All right, I'm reading from the New International Version. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." I love that. Now, verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemy, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there would never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." "Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. Wow. Okay. Now, Solomon, this is where we are. This is what, when Solomon started his ruling in Jerusalem, last week, what we learned in the other part, we see the struggles when Solomon took over his brother Adonijah, had crowned himself king. And then when David heard about it, David ordered that Solomon should be crowned king, and everything went through, and there were fight here and there. But the whole thing was over. All right. We have established that fact that Solomon, you know, he was now the supreme ruler of Jerusalem. Now he had put to rest, quiet down his enemies, those who were against him. Solomon handled all the rebellious people that we discussed of sample last week. Okay, here the scripture, and that was Solomon did, and last week, and what I want us to look at very carefully is this. You know, scripture tell us that Solomon, when he started the beginning of his reign, he started walking with God like his father David, obeying God in every aspect. Now you can find that it's right here. And let me just read that again. Just one verse. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. Except that day he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. Solomon walked with God like his what? Father David. And I just love that. Hey Rob, do you have something to add here? Because this is great.
Yeah, so we see that in the very beginning that he is walking with God, and God had granted a request to David. David wanted to build the temple, but God said, "No, your son's going to do that. But right. Don't worry, it will be built. But there has been too much bloodshed during your reign."
Mm-hmm.
And so Solomon commences the building of the temple, and they have all the materials, the cedars of Lebanon, and all these wonderful materials coming from around the world to be put into the temple. And it's a beautiful site that they build. And in there, he then sets everything in order so that the sacrifices can continue. They don't have to be in the tabernacle or out in the high places, as it's
right.
talking about before he starts. So we see this blessing occur, and we see peace quickly ensue. And as he begins to rule over the people and to make judgments and disputes that rise up, he settles those claims, and the word gets out to all of the rulers around the world, and they start to come and seek his counsel. So God has blessed him tremendously with his wisdom, and as we look into this, we're going to start seeing some other things that happen. So sometimes our blessings can be very great, but if we put too much into them, we have to be careful. We need to make sure that they don't become an idol.
Yes.
And what happens in Solomon's case is we see the kings come to him bearing him gifts. And then, as you point out a minute ago, he starts marrying these women, which also could be the gifts from the kings. We don't know, but he could have sought them out, or the kings could have brought them to him. Either is possible. And so he then starts acquiring and building an enormous amount of wealth. And so we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, thank you. Now, Solomon worshiped God with sacrifices. You know what? When he started his reign, when he started leading Israel, he was just like his father. He worshiped God with sacrifices, did great things for God, and God spoke to him for the first time. "What do you want me to give you?" And Solomon said, "Well, you know, I need silver." So that worship, we need to understand that when Solomon started the work, the beginning of his reign, he was really a man of God like his father. He made sacrifices to God. He did everything that the Lord required of him. Okay. So, and we want to get this clear. Because Solomon was obeying God and walking in the steps of his father David, God blessed Solomon with wisdom. The first thing in the text, Solomon prayed. You know, Solomon prayed for wisdom. He asked God if he can. God asked him, "Solomon, what can I do for you?" And Solomon replied, "Hey, Lord, I pray that you will give me wisdom so that I will be able to lead this great people." And what happened? God replied and gave him more than what he asked for. But let us look at the point when God asked Solomon, after he had made great sacrifices, thousand great sacrifices, God said, "What can I do for you? What do you want?" Solomon did not ask for riches. He did not ask for, he said, I need, you have made me king. You bless my father. You love my father. You bless him. Today, you're still blessing me because I am your servant, but I want to have wisdom, discernment, how to lead your people in with justice. So God said, wow. Now, since you didn't ask for riches or anything and you just want to lead my people with justice, whatever you don't ask for, I will give that to you. So what did God do? God gave Solomon great wisdom. He said, there would never be a man after you to have such a wisdom that I have given to you. There would never be. That's what the text said. So besides that, I will give you wealth. Whatever you don't ask for, I give you everything. So Solomon got all. The blessing was so great. Now, Solomon, during the beginning of his reign, he was what? Walking with God. Now, there came a time that Solomon had prayed and God blessed him with wisdom and wealth. Solomon was just blessed. The wisdom that was given to Solomon was tested. Rob, do you have any comment on these two prostitutes that came to Solomon?
Yes, so this is a fantastic story where we see these two women fighting. What had happened was both of them gave birth right about the same time, and one of the babies had died. So the other prostitute switched the child in the middle of the night, trying to, you know, take the living baby and gave her dead baby to the other woman. So the other woman wakes up and is like, hey, this is not my baby. This other one's mine. And so a dispute breaks out between them. It comes before Solomon. And what he does is he says, okay, well, you know, since both of you are claiming this baby, we'll divide the baby in half, and each of you can have a half of the baby.
Uh-huh.
And so the one is like, okay, and the other is like, no, just give it to the other woman then. She, you know, and so Solomon knew that was the real mother.
Yes.
And so he ruled in her favor after the face of the truth came out. So he had a great way at getting to the truth in these situations, and that's just one of the situations that he presided over. I'm sure there was thousands upon thousands.
I know, that's Twitter, true.
All of the kings of the world started coming to him for, even Queen Sheba came to test his knowledge. She'd heard him, but she didn't believe until she sat in his presence.
Right. Thank you. Man, Rob, Solomon, with that wisdom, his wisdom was tested. These two prostitutes came, and as Rob said, Solomon said, well, see, you got to fight with the baby. Give me the sword. I'm going to split the baby in half. Now, the real mother said no. The other woman said, no, yeah, you do, Solomon. Then the real mother said, okay, give the child over to her. Solomon ruled in the favor of the real mother. So his fame went all over the world, and people began to come. So, in what we're studying tonight, in part one of our study, Solomon, when he took over as king of Israel, he walked with God like his father. He served the Lord wholeheartedly, and God blessed him. The second part that we're going to look at in our teaching is the glorious days, which is he's now into the blessing, and then his fall. God now is blessing Solomon. The whole world is coming together. They are coming to listen to him. And Solomon began to do different things, and that brought about his fall. So this is part two of our study. The glorious days of Solomon and his fall. Now, I want to read from First King 4. Let's start from verse 20. Let me read that. Now, hold on, let me just read that, okay? Get your Bible. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. Wow. I mean, it's great. You see that? From 20 to 28, Solomon was the greatest man at the time. Everyone brought him gift. His people were happy. You know, when you have a good leader, the subjects are happy. If you have a wicked leader, the subjects will surely cry. So Solomon was great at the time. Now let's read 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and every great insight and the breadth of understanding, and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan, the Israelite, wiser than Hermon, Kagel, and Dadan, the son of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. Get this point. Great wisdom. Now, Solomon was so blessed because he started up and God blessed his life so much. And so everything began to happen. Israel was happy. The subjects in Jerusalem were also happy. That was the life, his glorious days came. And Israel was happy because the king of Jerusalem was a blessed man. Now, during this time, these are the things that Solomon did. And when you read 1 Kings chapter 5 to 6, Solomon built the temple of God. The writer talk about it. Solomon built the temple of God. He was so blessed and he built the temple of God. His father David wanted to build that, and God told him, no, you can't do it, but your son would do it. So that was fulfilled. Solomon builds his palace. He brought the ark of God in the temple and dedicated the temple. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 8. These were great achievements of Solomon. Great achievements of Solomon. Building the temple, his palace, bringing the ark of God into the temple and dedicating the temple. These were great occasions in the life of Israel. Solomon was really a great king. And all because, why? He followed who? He followed the will of God. Hey, Rob, do you have something to say here? I'm seeing
Yeah, you're right. So he followed the laws and statutes of God.
Right.
And that is what started bestowing the blessings upon him.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's interesting, I have sort of a speculation as to what may have caused him to start to move away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in his father David, David started acquiring wives. And as we mentioned in a previous study,
yeah,
some of them were also for political benefit.
Right.
Some were out of lust, Bathsheba. And others were for political gain.
Right.
And so Solomon, you know, growing up, knowing about his father, and obviously they were close, he watched and he learned and probably started saying, there's something to this. And so, you know, Pharaoh brings his daughter to him, and he says, now I have an alliance with the Egyptians. And he marries some other women, and we don't know the order occurs.
Nobody knows the order.
But he probably saw that, I married these, and look, I have more and more peace. And Maybe that's what's happened. Again, this is just speculation. We don't know because Scripture doesn't tell us. Its absence or is silent on the matter of, you know, how he started acquiring all these wives and over what was the time span. But I find it interesting that there's a couple prescriptions that are given in reference to a king.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the king should not start acquiring many horses,
okay, you know,
building an army, not acquiring many wives. And also, we see this of elders as well. You know, they're supposed to maintain a certain integrity, be the husband of one wife, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And also not to acquire much gold or silver. And we know of Solomon that he had an enormous amount of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept growing exponentially. So it's possible that as he started slowly down this path, that it began to sort of a domino effect, if you will. You know, married one and saw, hey, this is good. Married another, oh, this is even better. Now I've expanded my reach. Then in the end, we read in Scripture, in 1 Kings 11, I believe it's verse 6, it says, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, mm-hmm, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Now, it doesn't say that he completely walked away from God,
mm-hmm,
or turned his back on God, but that he was not fully seeking God as he was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned last week that he was serving Baal and Moloch,
right,
and he made sacrifices to Chemosh and other gods. He started, you know, serving each of these, Ashtoreth, and I don't even remember all of the different ones.
Right.
And so these were the gods of his wives. And so Scripture tells us that his wives led him astray.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful because this is one of the things he saw. You know, David had many wives. He says, "Oh, okay. Well, this must be okay. This is a cultural speculation." And so he slowly starts down this path. But he doesn't disobey in one thing. He disobeys in many things because he starts acquiring horses, women, gold, silver, and so all these things start to remove his dependence upon God.
Mm-hmm.
And he then starts making sacrifices and worship to these false gods. And with the wisdom he had, we most certainly know that he knew better.
Yeah, thank you. Good. You got it. Now, God appeared to Solomon the first time when he made sacrifices, he worshiped God, and God appeared to him. We talked about that already. During the beginning of his reign, God appeared to him. Now, when Solomon finished building the temple, we can read that in 1 Kings 9 from 1 to 7. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time. Wow. As he had appeared to him at Gibeon, the Lord said to him, "I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Wow. Here, when Solomon built a temple and brought everything in his own palace, everything, when he finished with the whole work and have a great ceremony, made a lot of sacrifices, God appeared to him the second time. And look what God said to him again. Solomon, I promised your father, the only condition is you need to walk before me. Your father walk before me, do the same, and I will bless you. And everything you're doing, I will bless it. And I will establish your throne forever. Solomon, one would say his real glorious day. The next thing that happened there was Solomon was so wealthy. He was so blessed. Everyone was counting upon him. Other kings were coming to him for counseling and all that. But Solomon fell because of the many wives he married. Now, let's read that from 1 Kings 11, beginning at verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. Verse 4 says, as Solomon grew old, his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. Wow. This is a key point here. Solomon did great. We talked about it already. But almost at the time he was getting old and he got many wives. Now, it's something that I'm so concerned here, Rob, is this. Now, verse 3 says, he has 700 wives of royal birth. So what was Solomon doing here? Marrying all the king's wives, daughters or what? See, but the point that we're trying to draw down here, the wives that Solomon married, the text said, the word of God says, Solomon should not have done that. Whenever you go against the will of God, you know that you're going to encounter major problem. The fault of Solomon came from marrying many wives. So if you are doing something, you know, and you are walking with God, and everything is okay, make sure to pay attention to the word of God that God has given you, to the will of God in your life. Solomon turned away from God. God blessed him so much, but because he listened to these three wives, they brought their gods in Jerusalem, he worshiped those gods. That was a terrible thing he did in his life. That brought about his downfall. Now, hey, Rob.
Yeah,
I think you got something here, because you said something about here already. Just summarize that. Let's get back to the conclusion.
So, yeah, as you point out, the wives led him astray. The acquiring of many things got him off the path. And there's one thing I've seen all through this study, and as I've been digging in the scripture, and that is something that plagues our society today, plagues North America, and many parts of the world, and that is we live in an extremely wealthy nation. There's so much abundance.
Right.
Yet we keep chasing after more and more, you know, the bigger car, better house, prestigious school, great neighborhood, so on. All these different things. And the thing I've learned through this is it starts out slowly, and creeps in, where we become a little bit unsettled. We have a lack of contentment with what we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, if I could just earn a little bit more. And so we start chasing after that. Next thing you know, we're on what some of the behavioral psychologists call it, the hedonic treadmill.
Right.
Where you're just going round and round like a hamster or a gerbil in one of those wheels, just going, 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 going as fast as you can, but not going anywhere.
Right.
And the problem that you will find yourself in is that now you've accumulated so much that you have to exert all of your energy just to maintain it and protect it and do all these things that are just absolutely worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And you have sacrificed your health. Many times I've seen this with people I've known through the years. They've sacrificed their families, their children,
right,
all on the altar of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
Or career, success, accomplishment, whatever it may be. And they find themselves that they have gotten so far away from God. And the thing I've learned is that all we have to do is trust in God and depend upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we start trying to trust in our own abilities and accumulating these things, the wealth in and of itself, material possessions are not bad.
Right.
But it's when we put them before God.
Right.
And we allow them to start. Basically, we start trusting in our own abilities and we allow them to supplant God,
mm-hmm,
and to take over the throne of our heart,
mm-hmm,
so that they become more important than Him. Now, this is a subtle, this occurs subtly. You know, we don't realize it. And so this is why it's so important to keep studying Scripture and go back and to ask God, oh, Lord, search my heart. Search every corner of it in my mind and show me the areas where I need to draw closer to You, where I need, uh-huh, to let go of. I have Him root these things out. Let Him get in there. Let Him shine His light everywhere inside of you. Otherwise, these things will slowly creep in, as they did with Solomon. It started with one marriage, and next thing you know, he had 1,000 marriages, 1,000 wives. Boy, that's
going
overboard.
Thank you. You nailed it. Thank you, Ryan. Okay, let us conclude. Let's come to the conclusion of the whole thing tonight. Let's see. There are many other lessons we can learn from Solomon's life, but we want to give you three tonight that we know are paramount into the entire study of Solomon. So listen very carefully. Our conclusion tonight, what lessons we can learn from Solomon's life? I want to give you three. And these three, there are many others that you can present, but we want to give you three tonight in our conclusion. Number one, God-given wisdom is important, but it can be abused. Yeah, we pray for the wisdom of God. It's very important because everyone needs the wisdom of God, but the wisdom can be abused. And what do we see here? We see it in the life of Solomon. Solomon seek God. He said, God, I want justice. And God blessed him with everything. Israel was blessed. But then he went on, he abused it by doing what? Taking 1,000 wives. 1,000 wives. Now, there's one thing that I want you to know very carefully. Letting the wrong people in your life can easily spell disaster and destruction. And you can get that from 1 Corinthians 15:33. Once you let the wrong man in your life, that person can damage your life by influencing you. Solomon got the wrong people in his life. In fact, God told Israel not to intermarry with any of those people, but Solomon did. That brought about his downfall. Solomon became the wisest fool when he married to foreign wives and turned away And when they turned his heart away from God, he was the wisest man for many years. But when they turned his heart away, he became what? The wisest fool. Why? Because he was building houses for foreign gods and spending money on foreign gods, making sacrifices to them. He became a wiser fool. So what do we say? Point one you need to take home is this. God giving wisdom is important, but it can be abused. The second thing that we want you to take home is this. More wealth without focusing on God may lead to disaster. I think Rob already summarized that. You know, Rob already summarized that. More wealth is good. Money is not evil at all. But it's how you use it. More wealth in God. When you have the wealth in God and you, it's okay. But it can cause more disaster in your life. Now, for example, we said that Solomon had it all. Look at his life again. He had all the wealth you can think about. The wealth you can, Solomon had, silver was made as common as stones. Silver was just like, it was just very common. Power, he had power. He had 1,400 chariots, 1,200 horsemen. Wow. Then 1,000 wives. And Solomon had peace all over after God blessed him. Solomon had all, everything, he had everything. But something happened. He missed the whole point. He decided to serve other God. Now, the last point in our conclusion that I want you to carefully take home is this. Marriage is important, but God always comes first. This is the point. Yes, in the life of Solomon, it's important to get married. But look, he got 1,000 wives. That is out of order in the first place. But God comes first. Now, in your wedding, when God comes first, everything going to be all right. Solomon disobeyed God in who he was authorized to marry. But King Solomon loved many street women, and all of these he married to this one, he married to that one, they turned his heart away from his God. Because of Solomon's disobedience to God, in these matters, God divided the kingdom of Israel and took 10 tribes away from him during the reign of his son Rehoboam. Now, wow. Solomon's marriages were failures. Let me say that again. His marriages were failures because they led him away from God. This all points to the truth that while marriage is important, no one comes before God. Now, marriage is important, but when you allow either your husband to come first before God, you miss the whole thing. Or you allow your wife to come first before God, you miss the whole thing. But God comes first before your spouse. I know other people do it the other way around. Rob, it looked like you gave me a signal here.
Yeah, I was just contemplating this, and you're absolutely right. God must come first. And, you know, we look back with David. It started with David marrying several wives.
Mm.
Then Solomon didn't goof up once. He goofed up 1,000 times. Well, 999 times. And then what happened after him? His son was wicked. Mm. And during his reign, the Pharaoh came in and took everything back that they had given his father. You know, and did they destroy the temple? Or did they just take everything from the temple?
Oh, wow.
You know, you think about that. Hmm. One generation, you know, the Solomon the son saw what his father had done, started down the same path, and his son really went astray. So, I mean, in such a short time, things can get so far off track. So this is something for us that are parents that we really must pay attention to.
Right.
That You know, Scripture tells us to train up our children in the way that they should go, and they will never stray from it. So we need to remember that, because remember, David was not a stern, he was not stern when it came to discipline. In fact, in his own household, he let things kind of linger and carry on, and it was a mess. And so we see the consequences of this. Solomon started out on a great path, but then ultimately made similar mistakes that his father had made, got completely off the track, and then his children even farther so. And so they just went completely the other direction from David. One generation.
Wow, thank you. Good. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully. Please, we need to be prayerful in our decision on who to marry, because marrying just for the sake of beauty may lead to failure and disgrace in life. We see that right in the life of Solomon. Great man. So all these three things that we discussed tonight in the conclusion, don't forget about them. Let me just skip that. God giving wisdom is important, but it can be abused. More wealth without focusing on God may lead to disaster. Marriage is important, but God always comes first. When you get those three things down, then of course you're not going to fall like Solomon. And when you are making selection, let God be the one. Pray to God to give you the wife or the husband. But but picking up a husband or a wife just for the sake of the beauty, and God is not giving you that wife or that husband, it may lead to a failure and disgrace in your life. All right. Now we've finished our study on Solomon. But one important question that I have that I want to ask you, and I'll leave it with you, those of you audience, those of you that will be with us live tonight, and those that will be with us by way of replay. One question that I want to ask you, that's your homework. You think about it. Next week we're gonna pick up somebody, we're gonna start studying somebody different. We might go to the prophet and pick up one person. I think Hosea will be the best person we'll pick up next week to start studying. But do you think Solomon was saved? That's the question I want you to take home. Now let me tell you, do you think Solomon was saved? That's the question. With all of the things that happened. Now, let me just give you a little guidance right there. There are two views to this. Where do you belong? View one says Solomon was saved because God promised to save him, and God promised that whatever he does wrong, he will punish him. So Solomon was punished for his wickedness. So Solomon is with the Lord right now. The other view said no, Solomon was not saved because his name was not mentioned anywhere in Hebrew where the hero of faith. His name was not mentioned there, and that's the argument. So these two views, where do you belong? Was he saved or not? I'll leave with you. Take it home and do something. All right. Anybody have a question tonight? We unmute everybody that you will come in and ask a question concerning this. It's great study. You can, if you have a comment to make, you're welcome. All right. Well, so thank you for joining us tonight. Please, these three points that we raised in the life of Solomon, don't forget them. And your homework, was Solomon saved or not? Two views. One view say he was saved. Another view say he was not saved. Where do you belong? Thank you. Hey, Rob, give us our concluding prayer tonight.
Our Heavenly and gracious Father, thank you so much for this study, Father. Lord, I just pray that each one of us continues to draw closer to you, Father, to lean on your understanding, on your truth, and to lean on you, Father, for our needs and our provisions. Father, for you are our creator, and Hallelujah. You are our provider. We don't need wealth, prosperity, or these other things. Now, the world tells us that, oh, you can have all these things if you just ask for it, just go after it. But Lord, it's so easy for it to get us off track, to lead us astray. And your word tells us that, it cautions us against chasing after riches. Because you know, Father, that we can become all consumed by these things. And we see it in our society with the self-help movement, with the prosperity movement, with all these things promising fame and fortune. Lord, all that matters is your care and your love for us, and for us to respond by serving you, Father, and fulfilling the Great Commission. And Lord, so these are the things I pray, that we continue to, in this study, help believers to draw closer to you, to understand you better, and to be better equipped to go out and to witness in this world.
Yes, Lord.
Preach your gospel, both in season and out of season. This is our mission. This is our duty.
Mm.
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to serve you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Hey.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. And next week, we will start the prophet. That would be great study. Invite somebody and join us. That would be great. Okay? All right. Bye-bye, everybody.